I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
I've got a big mouth of coffee.
Oh, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Just said a funny phrase and I laughed.
Yes.
All that I've just pulled out of my hair.
That's amazing. That's like a proper mat of hair.
Honestly, it's because I don't comb my hair. Anymore.
Well, I mean, you know, let's not let that pass. So what's going on there? I've started keeping my urine in bottles. Oh, yeah, no, we'll carry on. No, you stop combing your hair.
Living in my car. I'm going to just pop that hairball in my pocket.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not leaving it around.
You don't want to give away that valuable hair. Why have you stopped brushing your hair?
No, I do brush my hair, but, like, sometimes...
I'm hearing conflicting stories.
When your hair gets long at the back, I've got very thin hair, but somehow I've grown two little dreadlocks, which during the last one I tried to sort of tease out, but then it got to the point where that's just a floating orb of hair in my hair.
You moved to the beach a month ago, and now you've got white man dreadlocks. Are you sitting leaning against the surfboard on the beach, trying to sell hash to people?
Inflatable longboards you get. Oh, God.
You're like something out of, like, the Big Lebowski. It's a minor character they make an HBO series about. Oh, amazing.
Oh, no.
What a disaster.
Gone to seed completely. Gone to seed. Unbelievable.
Oh, look, hey, WrestleMania 36, night two. This is our third show on it, part three. I'm doing all the stats.
Very confusing.
I want to distance myself from this hippie.
Right. Oh, hippies don't know stats.
Hey, man, who cares what part? It is, so long as it's good. Yeah, that's going to help in the uploading.
To be fair, I upload most of the shows like a pot-addled idiot.
Very true. We're going to be on the fifth match, which is the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits, versus Angel Garza and Austin Theory, who come out with the manager, Zelina Vega. Originally, this was supposed to be Andrade, who was teaming with Angel Garza to face the Street Profits. He was removed from the match due to an injury. And therefore they brought in NXT's Austin Theory.
Right.
He talked about how you end up being on WrestleMania 36 night two, when you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
He said, I remember I was doing a leg workout on like a football field. He sounds like a fucking one of your lot. That's some hippie. He said, but yeah, they called me and were like, hey, we want you to come film main event, which is one of the smaller shows. Right. I was like, okay. So I get there and the main event, the actual match, gets cut. They're like, just come back tomorrow and film it. I'm like, okay. So show up the next day, film main event. I'm like, do you guys need me for anything else? Nope. So I go home. I get a call. Hey, you need to come to Raw. I'm like, oh, okay. We do some Raw. And right after that, they're like, hey, you're on WrestleMania now. I'm just like, all right.
Cool. I mean, you're under contract. You can't say no, can you? And also... That was written and read, and it's kind of like delivered like a school diary on
really
a Monday.
Is.
And then I was on Raw.
Yeah,
and then I did
it
this.
Happened. And I said, okay. And they said, you need to do this. And I was like, sure. There is something about it that I think from the outside you would look at it. And I think WrestleMania is an important event for wrestlers. It's very difficult to say that not every wrestler dreams of one day being on WrestleMania because that is... It's the key sports event that wrestling has.
Yeah.
Everybody, even if they're like, I hate WWE, you want to be on WrestleMania.
You do want to be on WrestleMania.
You want to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might do it and go, oh, that wasn't very good.
No.
Oh, I didn't.
You're on the Wikipedia, mate. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. You have locked yourself. You are part of WrestleMania history. And, you know, that is a... a record in a way that is never going to go away. That is permanent. And I think when you have Austin Theory just be like, how does it happen? You know, they just sort of change their mind and they go, you do it. And he's like, yes, sure, all right. Yes, I will come there. Yes, sure. I do sort of go, you know, you're a bit blasé about it. When I mentioned Austin Theory, during the speaking out campaign, there were some allegations that were made against him. Mm. They do seem to have gone away. They weren't acted upon. And obviously, in a case like that, he protested his innocence, if he addressed it at all, which I'm not sure if he did. But certainly, there were allegations there. And I always feel like, you know, because we do have to report those things. I say report. It's not like we're fucking journalists.
No.
But I think, you know, there is a codicil that you put there. In the, you know, speaking out should have had ramifications. It had ramifications against a number of people who were, you know, named in it. And I do think that, you know, some of the people who the allegations, if you like, remain on file. Austin Theory is one of them. I can't let people go. I can't just let it go unannounced, Pete. Yeah. I make that clear. Mm. I make no bones about it. I love it when I come to the end of these bits because I always find it tricky and it ruins the enjoyment that I'm having in the show. So that bit is over. The Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. Montez Ford is the husband of Bianca Belair.
Right.
I like the fact that they acknowledge that in this show. Mm. I like the fact that they don't make a big thing of it. They're not teaming all the time. They're not having a thing, what did you say to my wife?
Yeah.
Did you insinuate she was a prostitute in the comments of the Plymouth Herald website? There's none of that sort of like use of it. But they're just like, when either of them do well, the other one comes out and wants to celebrate with them. Yeah. I think that's a really nice sort of like grown-up way to do it. The Street Profits were really, really good in NXT. They had some great, great matches. When they made it onto the main roster, they sort of got less time to actually show what they could do. But they're still really, really good. Montez Ford does lots of stuff that I like. He comes out and he does an Ultimate Warrior rope shake.
Oh, he shouts, see ya, and then does a somersault. I'm like, yes,
he has got
please.
A lot of energy.
He just shouts WrestleMania inexplicably.
Yeah, he's dynamic.
WrestleMania,
he's just like, come on. And I love that. The whole idea of people sort of like just turning up and doing it. He is just like, I'm fucking living what I want to do. And I love it.
Even the Street Profits from Wikipedia is like, once again, they entered the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic in 2019, but were defeated by Mustache Mountain. Now, Mustache Mountain, I want to know about them.
Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, brilliant tag team. They actually got, when they, I saw them win the NXT tag team titles at a show at the Royal Albert Hall. Mm. And I would say that's the biggest pop I've ever heard in a wrestling event. It was an amazing, amazing amount of noise. I can't remember what SummerSlam 92 was like. It was a big place. But that one was astonishing. The odd thing about Wikipedia, as I noticed, is neither of them have individual entries.
Oh, that's
they're there as Street Profits. And if you click on their names, it just reroutes you to Street Profits.
That's always annoying because you're like, well, they've done stuff.
Yeah.
They've done stuff.
I did find out Montez Ford's real first name is Kenneth. Which I do like. Ken. All he tweets every single day. He's done it for years. Every single day. He doesn't tweet anything else. He just tweets the phrase, God is good. Every single day. God is good. Dump. There it is.
Get
God is good.
You would want to put that on.
What's funny is when you go
content
over.
Content management system.
Yeah. I think it might be automated.
Is it on at the exact same time?
You know, I mean, you know, that's not really praising God, is it?
No.
That's
automating
that's
going, God.
That's annoying. But I found a way to do it. I do notice, like, it gets a lot of retweets.
Yeah.
But who's some days that? Bigger than others, which is weird. Like on a Tuesday, people are like, "I really am in the mood for this." Good
yeah,
retweet.
I agree. I agree.
But yeah, he God is good.
I'm going to retweet him.
It is this match. Look, it's full of action. It's over quickly. All of these people are making their WrestleMania debut, and so you know it does have a lot more excitement and energy. Ford at the end, when the pin is made by Angelo Dawkins, Ford is just on the apron. And he's staring at the camera, which is because it's in the ring, it cuts him off at the shoulders. And he's just going, just with the sheer sort of exuberance and excitement of it. He is very much pushed as the Shawn Michaels in this. And right. Angelo Dawkins, who is a sort of, you know, a slightly different body shape. Mm. He seems like the Marty Jannetty of the team. And I think he is acutely aware of that. And I think he works as hard as he can to try and dispel that sort of feeling.
Well, you can't outshout him.
No.
And you can't outmuscle him.
Some people are just very, very much wrestlers. And yeah. Montez Ford, just effortlessly, and I'm sure he puts a load of effort into it, but just effortlessly is much better than anyone else trying hard.
Yeah.
And that must be very frustrating if you are not Montez Ford. There's a little, you know, he's sort of like Montez Ford and mate, isn't he? Angelo Dawkins. Here's the Street Profits. It's Montez Ford and his mate.
Yeah. He's the one who should have the Wikipedia.
Yeah. Yeah. The ends with Zelina Vega after the Street Profits win. Zelina Vega does a kick on Montez Ford. And Bianca Belair runs in to the rescue. And that's where she does this quite abominable spear.
Yeah.
And then she does some quite bad-looking punches.
Yeah.
And you would be struggling to go, main event next year. Main event next year.
I've checked out her YouTube, though, and she does, she skips with her hair, big long, she's got a big long, what do you even call it, a plait, I suppose?
Big ponytail.
Big ponytail. It's very Dragon Ball Z.
It is a plait. Well, I don't know why I was like, no, it's got to be something else. It's a plait, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's a big long plait.
Yeah, it's got to be a big long plait. Yeah. But she's skipping with it, which is funny. She makes her own clothes.
She does,
yeah. She's amazing on YouTube.
She does, not only her own ring costumes, but when she turns up at events and things, she often will put up a thing saying, I made this all myself.
Yeah.
You know, she's a seamstress and everything.
Cool.
She's also an incredibly, incredibly good athlete.
Mm.
So I think, you know, she's track and field, she's all this, that, the other, but she's also incredibly good at weightlifting.
Mm.
And so there is a Raw where she picked up Otis and ran
brilliant.
With him on her back.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
She is an absolute beast. She's also got one of the most enjoyable speaking voices you'll ever hear. She's got a lovely southern twang,
right?
Sassy twang. It's just gorgeous. Absolutely lovely.
She put a lovely video of her parents watching her. She win the Royal Rumble.
She did, yeah.
And dad just it looks like he passes out at one point.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's so nice.
I just love that. I think you know the one thing you can see throughout her career, and she calls herself the EST of NXT and now EST of WWE, which is the EST. The best, the strongest, the fastest,
right.
You know, the what the other words end in est, the yeast.
Hairiest, technically.
Yeah, the shortest, the tallest, the deepest, the widest, the grossest, the hottest.
Smelliest.
Yeah, the coldest. The
cattest. Cat.
The doggest, the fishest.
Doggest, the fishest.
the windowist, the doorist, the ceilingist. The
detectorist.
Yeah, the racist, spelled wrong. All the spelling wrongs they have a little asterisk on. You have to ring a premium rate phone number, and she just goes, well, I'm sorry. She's got such a beautiful voice. I love it. I absolutely love it. Match number six. Just before match number six, out comes Titus O'Neil, and they mentioned that he's taken over the hosting duties from Gronk. Considering Gronk did the intro, a 20-second interview, and then threw himself off a balcony, you wouldn't sort of go, this is onerous and we need someone new. And Titus O'Neil will go on to do the same amount. He just goes, I'm the host, I've taken over, and he'll have one more thing to do.
Is this post his shit? Would that not be his post kind of allegations that he was a bit texty?
No, I don't think he was texty.
Am I thinking Titus, of, oh, no, yeah. Sorry, not Titus O'Neil.
You're thinking of Tyrus,
I'm
are you?
I'm thinking of Tyrus,
yes,
sorry, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Titus O'Neil comes off the back of the, what's that, mad
Titus
match.
O'Neil's only, the Saudi Arabian thing where he slipped under the ring at the Royal Rumble.
That's him.
Titus.
Sorry, I thought he got a couple of cues there. I was like, I didn't see that.
No, Titus wins loads of awards for being like Father of the Year.
So
He's an amazingly popular charity
Titus
guy.
Off the back of the Firefly.
I would be really, really careful about making accusations of that nature.
I thought it was Titus, not Titus O'Neil. Who am I thinking of? Tyrus.
Tyrus. Who used to be called Brodus Clay.
Brodus Clay. Right. Yeah. That's what. So I didn't, because I was like, no.
Worth saying as well, now that that's been litigated and a settlement has been reached, he still says he did nothing wrong, Tyrus.
Right.
So I mean, doesn't matter who you think it is, you're in a lot of trouble. You are going to be the brokest, the poorest, the most soonest.
So he comes off the back of the Firefly Funhouse match.
Oh, it's brilliant. Save it for that.
All right, okay, so
the greatest punchline in the history. All of the work they did, and out comes Titus and just goes, I'm going to fuck this up. Amazing. Oh my God.
I'm trying to get myself out of a hole where I'm confused about seeing someone that might have skipped over.
There is one little bit. So Titus is never been a huge star. He always felt like someone that they should have pushed a bit more because he was very popular. He was very big. He connected with the crowd, but they didn't push him. There was a funny incident where on one Raw, he grabbed Vince McMahon to like hug him, and he was immediately suspended and fined.
Really?
Vince McMahon was furious about without being touched when he wasn't expecting it. but that's the only thing about him. He's one of those guys who they've used certainly in the last 5-6 years as being an ambassador for the company.
You don't have to defend him like I've besmirched his good name. I just got confused.
Are they going to sue you individually or are they going to go wrestle me? They're going to go, well, there's two of them. There's twice as much. What they don't know is I've spent all my money on building work. so that's fine. But, oh, you know, they'll be coming for your seaside palace.
I'm not even cutting this. I could have cut it out. I'm not going to cut it out because I clearly got it wrong and
he's
then immediately
the
corrected
laziest.
Myself.
He's the most sluggiest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We have the match, the SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley versus the sexy Southern Belle Lacey Evans versus Sasha Banks versus Tamina versus Naomi in an elimination match.
I am increasingly not liking Lacey Evans' look. Those black lines down the back of her legs, like pin-up tights.
All of it is
so shit.
It's the sort of stuff that old elderly ladies wear. She has a big summer hat. She's all about like ice cold lemonade. Yeah. She's all like stockings, and she wears little white gloves. And yeah. I just go, are you like 85?
If I had tattoos, I'd be emo. I'd be rockabilly, but I don't have none.
Why, my fans have all simply disintegrated due to advanced age. I wondered if you would be able to scale your ladder and fix them for me while I fan myself on the floor. You know, all of it makes me...
Excellent impression of the president from House of Cards, who I think has a perfect record as an actor.
I love his Christmas messages.
Daddy ring back wheel. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was...
You know what we should give each other for Christmas? The gift of forgiveness. Yeah, I fucking bet you on that.
Do you not think that, like, I just think there'd be some dirty PR company and take his money. But it seems like as soon as something like that happens, you're just so alone.
Yeah.
And you've got to just do the mad shit. Go down the shop and buy a shit camera.
Yeah. And what you forget is, like, actors never that hinged. Always a bit fucking mad, mental. Yeah. Hey, do you know what I should do? Christmas?
Start a bat now.
I'm an actor. Everyone loves me. Oh, you used to be an actor, something else now, aren't you? I had a look into the backstory of Lacey Evans, mainly because I wanted to see if she was born in the 1920s.
Yes.
On a plantation.
Has she ever been painted on a plane?
Yes. Her real name is Macy Evans.
Right.
She had a sister who was called Lacey.
Right.
Lacey and Macy.
Took
the name of her sister. Yes, what? That's correct. I think it was because they were like, Macy's not
a real
name.
Did she die typhoid?
Well, looks like I've assumed the identity of a sibling in some kind of long-running inheritance scam.
I do declare we could get up to that kind of whatnottery back in the 20s.
My sister locked in a barn? I'd hardly dare. I do not think so. Sir, you impugn me with your et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
According to ESPN, Lacey, or Macy Evans, was raised in a home torn by depression, drug and alcohol abuse. And at times she was living in tents while she was growing up due to her parents' legal problems. They say legal problems. It sounds like they were living a very chaotic lifestyle.
Yeah.
And her father had entertained thoughts in his youth of becoming a wrestler. He never acted on them. But he died of a drug overdose before she had her WWE tryout. So when I looked into it, I was like, she's actually a sort of remarkable woman.
I've turned completely 180 on that one.
She joined the Marines when she was 19, served as a military police officer for 5 years, while she also earned her bachelor's degree. She started, while she was on the active duty as a Marine, her own construction business.
Are you just going to, like, I'm going to have an opinion and you're going to go,
oh, yeah,
Pete, you're a cunt.
I do you know what I do? I say, what do you think about her? And I go, just let him do it. Let him run on that leash.
What do you think of Titus? He might have done some text.
He's going to get so far, and then suddenly that chain's going to go taut. It's going to yank him back, and his tail between his legs. He's going to come padding back. Lacey was introduced to professional wrestling while in the Marines through a staff sergeant who promoted independent shows on the side. The second show she attended, the staff sergeant booked her to wrestle him. Yeah, dirty old sergeant.
No,
if there's an audience, you know, it's going to be fine, isn't it? Yeah, I'm so sweet. Naomi comes out. She has the biggest afro she's ever had in her career. And
right.
It is a thing of beauty. So few wrestlers, especially women wrestlers, have had massive afros. The two great wrestlers, Meng had a great afro, so right. Haku. During the late 90s into the 2000s, he had a big old afro and it looked great.
Yeah.
When he'd do a kick, it would wobble.
Yeah. I guess hair's quite a big thing in wrestling as well. You think you'd see more of them. They're hard to maintain at the best of times,
yeah.
But to have like wrestling matches as well, it's difficult.
Yeah,
really difficult.
Completely. And I think, you know, I want more effort. Naomi's hair looked amazing there. You've got Naomi comes in and Sasha Banks come in, and what they've done is they've slightly changed their theme tunes, and they are about five times not as good as their originals. They still both have sort of elements of the originals in, but they've tried to sort of like go, oh, you're moving on, so we're going to change your music. Don't change your music.
No.
Keep your music. The Sasha Banks one especially was so good to listen to, but now it's got a big sort of bam, bam, ba-dam in the middle.
Trying to sort of catch up with like modern...
Yeah, right. There's a bit of sort of like drop the bass.
Right, okay.
That's the sort of thing that someone who stopped listening to music in about 91 would say.
That's your idea of what a... You're at Abbey Road.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You record your album and the producer goes...
I take off my mirrored specs. I take out my little Hamlet cigar. I pull up the flap on my flying coat. What's it called?
Flying coat? Like a bomber jacket.
It's got a sheepskin lined bit and I flick that up and I just go... Drop the bass.
You look down.
And Paul McCartney looks back at me. Okay, I was just going to do a, you know.
Yeah, drop it. Song drop about it, a frog.
And let's have some heavy bass. Bailey comes in as well with the perfect bass. It's why she's so good in this. She comes in looking not anxious, but just like, okay, here we go. This is going to be a rough night. And it's just the perfect thing to do. It sells all the others as being good. She doesn't look like a coward, but what she looks like is someone who is understanding the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
So few wrestlers do that. It's just she nails it so, so well. When she comes into the ring, the camera crew, they position it so that you've got Sasha Banks in the background looking on as Bayley shows off her belt.
It's such a nice little moment. It's kind of interesting, like... They can do that when they're pre-recorded a little bit.
Yeah, completely. And they do it, of course, when you've got a storyline that is simple and you can just put simple things in that people will get. This was a storyline we mentioned on the previous episode that they ran for about a year. Mm. And it was just those tiny incremental things. And they do it throughout this match. You keep going, well, this is the obvious point for it to break up. Mm. And it doesn't. And all they're doing is pulling that out. And the more they pull it out, the more interested you are in it. It's classic wrestling booking. In the middle of this match was a really weird bit that had clearly been a revoicing by Michael Cole of whatever was there on the original broadcast.
Right.
And it's just a bit where there are three women, I think it's Tamina and Naomi and who else would it be? I can't remember. But they come together and there's a bit where it's suddenly in a totally different sounding room acoustically. Mm. And he's just going, of course, these three women were part of Team Bad. They are meeting here. What will happen? And then it goes back to basically the difference is it goes,
there are three women here from Team Bad.
And then it comes back and you go, kicking her ass.
Why can't anybody do ADR properly?
It's madness. But the other thing about it is, why bother with that? Mm. They were like, you missed that out. You missed out something 4 years ago that no one has any recollection of.
Yeah.
Why don't you put that into, you know, no need. Don't worry. It being there made me go, I'm not going to listen to this. If you want me to hear it, I won't. I was really cross about it. Why it was important to get in, no idea.
No.
This match comes down to Banks, Bayley, and Lacey Evans. Mm. And it's really, really well booked. I really enjoyed this match as a whole. There's a really good bit where Bayley accidentally hits Sasha Banks with a knee and she's apologising to her. And Evans then sort of, you know, gets back in the match, gets two count on Bayley. And as they pick her up, Banks is pushed out the way by Bayley. Gets hit with the woman's right. Still a hilarious name for a move. Really good. It's punch. Woman's right. And Banks, she's pinned by Evans. What's great about that is you knew where this match was heading. Mm. It was heading towards Banks and Bayley, and Bayley would go, should we not fight? Do you want to just, you know, give up? And Banks would go, of course. And then she'd hit her and you'd have the match.
Yeah.
That was what it's building up to. And instead, they take that away. So you never get to see Banks and Bayley come to blows, but they're just throwing in these bits to keep that thing going, to keep building it perfectly.
And Banks does her move, the backstabber.
Exactly that. And all they do is spend their time saying how great friends they are. Yeah. There's such a good little bit where you've delayed it for another night. And so then we get, you know, Bayley finally pins. Bayley is really good in this match. Mm. She's taken on the running knee as a finisher, and it's just a thrilling, like, clattering, thudding move. There's, right at the end, Lacey does a moonsault where she's on the second rope, and she jumps up to the top and then turns round in midair and then does a moonsault. And it's such a brilliant, like, move. The idea that you could get to that level and do that is just like, you talk, oh, I've sort of won wrestling. It's just an amazing, really impressive move. Then Sasha Banks interferes, is a no DQ match. She hits Lacey with the backstab, as you say, and gets the pin. What happens then is Banks comes in with the belt, and you've got that thing where she looks at it, and Bayley is unsure what's going to happen next. And then she hands it over.
Bayley knows in her heart what's going to happen.
None of them are convinced. They're all sort of like, I don't trust you, but you haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
It's such a good angle. Again, I always say things should end at WrestleMania. You shouldn't have storylines going. That would have been totally acceptable if they'd have kept it going until next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But they just felt like it was not running out of steam, but I think they were like, now is the right moment. No, the right moment would have been WrestleMania 37. And I will never, ever forgive you for not doing it. It follows up with an advert for WrestleMania 37 in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, in California, for 2021. Not going to happen!
Oh!
Not going to happen!
So what happened then? Where was it put in the end?
It went to the Raymond James Stadium, which is where this WrestleMania was going to be taking place,
right,
in Tampa.
Right, okay.
They gave them that next year.
You get the feeling that they're WWE safe in Florida, aren't they? They're very risky.
That was why they stayed there.
Yeah.
There was also that thing of them saying, well, you know, we owe this the guys a WrestleMania and all of the tourism that comes in. But I mean, none of that happened. You know, there was still a no-fly thing. Nobody came from abroad.
Yeah.
It was just, it was done in Florida because they could do it in Florida.
Yeah.
It is. I love this whole sort of thing where you do see these and just go, that never happened. I mean, they've put it off for, I think they're doing Texas next year and then it's the LA one.
Right.
I think they've done it in that order. I have a feeling the LA one will be, it's so, what's odd about the pandemic is it's knocked it on. That 2021 would have been Rock versus Roman Reigns.
Right.
Rock would have wanted to do this stadium
in
LA, the home of movies. He would have been back. And the pandemic, by putting the extra 2 years in and then them shuffling the stadiums and things, there's a possibility that's 3 years away. And that might be too long.
So, for The Rock, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he'll be back this year to do that match, but that seems like the only really clear booking decision.
Yeah,
I think
because I guess he's and his schedule is probably all of them.
Yeah,
well.
That's it. I mean, the reality is, why would he need to come back to WWE? You know, when he can do a film, it's you know, you get paid more, and you don't have to. You know, the insurance for a lot of films, it will all come down to whether or not he has. It's not just a case of going, he's got a free weekend. It's whether or not, you know, a film is in the pipeline that they go, well, you can't do wrestling because you might get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to, it'd be different if he was like Batista.
Yeah. Because his level.
Yeah.
You're not the Rock.
You are the biggest movie star in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
So it'd be like, I know you want to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was an Arsenal midfielder who really wanted to learn how to fly.
Yeah.
He's not allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the insurance is too high.
Exactly. And I think, you know, there is a horrible feeling that, I mean, what if we've seen The Rock do everything he's ever going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it always hangs over that, you know, you can always rely on The Rock. There's always a dream match coming with The Rock.
Yeah, but there's very few kind of, I mean, it'd probably just drag Hogan out or something. But they sort of, I just get the feeling that sportsmen, sports people just, they seem to look after themselves a bit more. So maybe The Rock will be wrestling into
That's
his
true.
50s.
And look, you know, the other thing is The Rock can turn up to a premiere and everyone can cheer and everything, but he can go out there for 20 minutes in front of 100,000 people and have them, you know, cheering every single move he does.
Mm.
And I think, you know, there is that thing of just sort of going, this is what I do, you know.
Yeah.
Or he could
turn up for half an hour and just do a one-man sort of meandering show, which he's done frequently at WrestleMania.
Get his guitar out. Yeah. And build up to a bit where Elias comes out and challenges him and it never happens.
Yes.
And that would be the shit. The important thing is, next week, we are going to be going through one of the most
interesting.
I was going to say talked about, but no one talks about it.
No one talks about wrestling. I'm surprised I've never sort of dipped a toe.
We are going to be watching the match between John Cena and The Fiend.
Mouth open all the way through.
Yeah. Do you know where it takes place? Inside your mind. So have a watch of it in your mind. Whatever you imagine happens, that's what happens. And we'll be talking about it next week. And I would think for probably 9 or 10 weeks after.
I think all shows should be in the Firefly Funhouse.
I genuinely think I would actually break the rule of a lifetime and I would listen to a wrestling podcast that just said all we're going to talk about is this one match and we are going to analyse it into the fucking ground. We're going to watch it new every week and build on our understanding of what has happened in this sacred tome.
Oh, mate. Right, we'll be back next week for that.
Let us in!
Let
me in. That's a different... Oh, God.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.